This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The television version of the show now airs on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The battle over the Dakota Access Pipeline continues, even though the issue seems to have slipped out of the news cycle. A U.S. Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia on Sunday rejected the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's request to stop the pipeline from moving forward. Construction is still halted on federal lands where the tribe claims treaty rights, but continues on private lands. Actress Shailene Woodley, famous for her roles in the Divergent series and most recently the film Snowden, has stood in solidarity with indigenous groups and environmental activists opposed to the pipeline. Earlier this week, Woodley was arrested at the site of the pipeline construction, along with 26 others, all of whom have been charged with criminal trespassing. Woodley has also been charged with engaging in a riot. After spending a night in jail, she was released. And her videos from her actions at the Cannonball River in North Dakota, where people have been protesting, have been viewed millions of times. My guest is Ed Higgins. He is campaign director of Activate Now. He led a march for democracy from D.C. to the DNC this summer and has been most recently active in the actions against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Welcome to the program, Ed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So first, tell us under what circumstances Shailene Woodley and these 26 other people were arrested. I know that the protesters, many of whom call themselves water protectors, have been engaged in nonviolent civil disobedience. The most violent thing they might engage in might be to lock their arms within one of the pieces of construction equipment. So it's been very, very peaceful. Why was she and others arrested?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we went down there for a ceremony. We went down there for prayer. We set up a teepee. We had a ceremony where the condor joined forces with the eagle. There's no reason why we should have got arrested except for we're on land that was stolen from the tribe. So that's their reasoning. Our reasoning is we were there peacefully protecting the water like everyone else should, because you can't live without water.
You were also among those arrested?
No, actually, I don't know why, but I actually went to the Morton County's sheriff's office afterwards to see if Shailene was okay. But yeah, we were there on the front lines. I was there the whole time. We were conducting ourselves in a peaceful manner. There was no violence. There was nobody, with any weapons at all. The only weapon we would have had was our voices and our prayers and our love. And that's not a violent weapon. So,
can you describe what the protests look like at this point? Are people basically organizing daily actions right where the pipeline itself is being built or on the lands that you don't want the pipeline to be built? How is it playing out every day?
It's a little bit of both. So we're actually going for daily actions. It's estimated about 60 to 80% done with the pipeline. So at this point, it's daily actions if we can do it. They're organized daily, either at the camp or at the front lines. Or there was a group that shut down the tar sands, which was amazing. So it's being mounted on all fronts. And the greatest thing about it is those that seek to protect the people that poison our water, their tactics aren't getting any better. They're actually getting worse. They don't have any tactics. It's like they're playing checkers or we're playing chess, and we're winning. That's the good.
What's the size of protest there? I know that a lot of people come in from out of the area, even out of the state, might camp out at Camp Sacred Stone, as it's being called, for a few days and then move on. Has the size of the activist gatherings been increasing or about steady or even going down?
Well, it depends on the day of the week. I mean, a lot of people come in on the weekends. The cold has, decreased the camp a little bit, but not much. And then you have different camps. So you have the Sacred Stone camp, you have the Red Warrior camp, you have a whole bunch of camps inside the Standing Rock camp. And it's fluctuating. It's not, you'll see decreases and then you'll see increases, decreases, increases. The biggest challenge that we face right now is the winterization of camp. And if we have to move camp, and if we do, where are we going to go? Or if the camp's going to be shut down. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
How important is the presence of people like Shailene Woodley? I mentioned her videos of the protests, even her own arrest, have been viewed millions of times. Presumably, many of those among her are simply her fans that might not have been exposed to this issue had they not seen her being involved.
Well, and that's a good point. So actually, the reason why we're all here in the first place is the youth, and they're the ones that we went behind and we decided, with counsel from the elders that we would elevate their movement. They're the powerful ones. Shailene being there, she actually didn't expect to get the attention that she did. It was a tactical error on the side of Morton County Sheriff's Department to even do that. Because all it did was, elevate the issue to, something that hadn't got as much attention as it had before. Mm-hmm. Now it's blown up again. So I think that was very foolish of them. Mm-hmm. It does help to have people on the front lines that do have a platform. It also helps that, she's been there since the beginning. So it's good for people like that to have the platform to be there. It's even better for people to be there since the beginning like she was. So. We need more people out here willing to protect the water. You can't live without water, and that's the point we've been trying to stress this whole time. Plus, we have the prophecies of the seven generations, and we have the treaties. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons why this land should not have been touched with this pipeline, as well as, racism out of Bismarck. They could have put the pipeline through Bismarck. They did not. They made so many great mistakes, including calling the pipeline Dakota. Like, why would you sully such a honorable name? It's just ridiculous. They made so many foolish missteps on this thing that it was bound to fail, and we're going to be there every step of the way. So having somebody like Shailene Woodley on the front lines, yeah, it does help. Definitely does.
What do you make of the U.S. Court of Appeals decision that just came out on Sunday rejecting the request by Standing Rock Sioux Tribe to stop the pipeline from moving forward? Is that a legal setback?
I don't know if it's a legal setback. I'm not a lawyer, but I'll tell you, it's not surprising. I don't trust anything the U.S. government does anymore. They have committed genocide in so many different ways in so many different countries. It's just become part of our daily culture, and it's disgusting. I just read a news report that we bombed like 700, or there was 700 people in Yemen killed by U.S. bombs, and this has become part of our economy. So. I don't trust anything the U.S. government does, and nothing surprises me that the U.S. government does anymore.
So at this point, how far will this protest and how long will it go? There was an interesting New York Times article that just came out that had a very bizarre headline entitled, "Ranchers Tote Guns as Tribes Dig In for Long Pipeline Fight." I know that a lot of the private landowners have agreed to let the pipeline through their land, some haven't, but it was interesting that the New York Times headline didn't contrast the tribes' non-violent, non-gun positions compared to the ranchers. How long will this go on?
That's interesting, because even when it was warm out here, I didn't see any ranchers out on the front line. So I haven't seen anybody brandish any weapons except for the police department, Morton County Police Department. And we had the state police out here from Wisconsin the other day, all brandishing batons. They had shotguns or rubber bullets. So there's been security out here with dogs biting women and children, and nobody's been charged. But yet we're going to talk about ranchers up in arms with guns that we haven't even seen. That's stupid. That's ridiculous, and it's propaganda. I guarantee, if we would track the author and track the agenda, we would find that it's propaganda. It's bull.
So at this point, what do you think needs to happen from the rest of the country? As you mentioned, winter is on its way, which makes that physical presence of activists harder and harder. It's a harsh environment. It's cold. It's outdoors. It's windy. So it makes that sort of, putting one's bodies on the line a little bit harder, practically speaking. Are the communities that have dug their heels in, to paraphrase the New York Times, calling on people from around the country to lend their solidarity in different ways, not just in person in North Dakota. Are there other ways people can participate?
Yes. The first is doing your research and finding out about the Lakota people, finding out about our real history in the United States of America, and coming to an understanding that we're all human, we all have a struggle. The best thing we can do right now is continue our prayer, continue our warm thoughts for everyone, and the universe will guide us. The universe is giving us a last chance here. We have about 30 years before most of the coastal cities go underwater. Water is something we cannot survive without. We cannot suck on sand for our sustenance. It doesn't work. So what we need is for everybody to get up and say, hey, you know what? Our cultural barriers, our racial barriers, our sexual barriers, everything needs to drop. These imaginary man-made borders need to go away. We need to return with love and with an understanding of the land that's more important than anything that we could see on social media.
And so where can people find out more information now? I know that there have been a number of different crowdfunding efforts as well to help, just simply fund the basic practical needs of the various camps at Standing Rock. Are those also ways in which people can contribute sort of financially?
Yeah, so we actually had a meeting with the council today. The council had a meeting where I was at Cannonball. And they were discussing exactly that. So there's over 100 porta potties that they're paying for, and the daily cost for that is like $2,000 per day that they're estimating. And then there's legal costs. We have over 120 protectors that have been arrested since. So that's a good place to start. The funds, I believe they're on GoFundMe. You just type in Standing Rock, and you'll find funds there, as well as Red Warrior Camp. So standingrock.org, go to that website, and right on the front page is a PayPal email, and then state what you want the funds to go to, as well as we're looking to either move the camp or, we may have to come to the fact that we have to take down one of the camps. But we are fighting regardless. So winter supplies are really important. Wood is really important. We're on the plains, and, lack of wood out here is definitely an issue. As well as canned goods, food, anything to help get through the winter, because there are going to be people that are already planning to stay through March through winter. So whatever you can do to send out supplies as well as donate, that'd be greatly appreciated. Also, we could use natural builders out here. We could use people that know how to use building plans or how to make building plans. We have natural communities that are coming out to support us, and we need those plans so we can present to the council and say, hey, here's our plans. We'd like to set up this camp, and this is how we want to do it. These are all ways you can help, but most of all, it's having love and understanding in your heart. And I know that's hard for a lot of people in the so-called civilized world to understand that, but really, we are all connected. And for you to look into the story yourself and the research and to understand the story yourself is the best way you can help overall.
Ed, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Ed Higgins, the campaign director of the group Activate Now. He led a march for democracy from D.C. to the DNC this summer, and he has been most recently active in the actions against the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.